Blog Talk Radio.
And during the few moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
Giblets, it's the mad science experiment known as Off the Rails Uncensored. Jeez, and you know something? Here's what I gotta say to you all. There's something that really makes me laugh as my sound effects go off the hinges again. There's a few things, actually a lot of things that I can talk about on Wrestle Radio. Now, actually, this isn't Wrestle Radio, this is Off the Rails Uncensored, and if you haven't already done so, you can understand, or you can bear with me to try the mouse on this goddamn forsaken contraption. Okay, well, here's what I'm going to say. There's just several things. Shawn Michaels coming back. Menzel's rap video. My continued thoughts. And there's tickets to the event. What year is this? I mean, seriously. What is going on here? What is going on? There's just so much that I need. What the fuck, man? A SmackDown Live review. I mean, should we, folks, really? I mean, I have a lot to cram in, and, well, should we now? I mean, if it's up to you, I'm not the technician. I mean, you're making this so easy for me. Oh, come on, man. All right, so I guess I can just stall time because here's what I'm going to say. If you really haven't tuned into the show, I've been talking lately about what's going on around all of wrestling, not just sending around former WWE superstars, but CM Punk and Colt Cabana won their case against WWE Doctor. And it's only fitting because if you don't know the whole situation, you need to figure it out, okay? So, yeah, that's basically what I said. Folks, my tech really wants me to do a SmackDown Live review. I guess if you just after that, all the SmackDown Live was less disappointing. And unusually normally play the absolute repetitive, redundant theme of SmackDown Live, which I will in a minute. But let's talk in continued thoughts about Enzo Amore. What's so good about Enzo Amore? I mean, I honestly, at this point, folks, I don't know, okay? I do know I would rather just contemplate the error of his ways and then... Better learn, so I'm trying to like that. why do you keep doing that? I mean, you've only done it once, but holy hell, dude. I do the intros on the show. Not you. Why? SmackDown Live review. Okay. Shinsuke Nakamura and AJ Styles signing. Aiden English and Lana is the best. Lana, number one. Clap, clap. They lost to Uso and Naomi. Semantics. Asuka beat Sonya Deville and Mandy Rose. Very good match. Charlotte versus Becky Lynch. Noteworthy match. To sum up SmackDown Live, thank you, my friend. It was very eventful. You know, and you see a six-man tag match, Samoa Joe, The Miz, and Rusev versus The New Day. New Day is just a joke as a gimmick. You know, they have to have a humorous gimmick in order to make things fly. I love the pancake shirt. But continuing, before I get rudely interrupted again by my technician, thank you, dude. I won't be needing you anymore for the night. It's late. You can go back downstairs, party, whatever you was doing, okay? Yeah, I know. Oh, I know. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm so happy because, let's just say, I like to talk about this the last leg of my show, but I don't want to overplay the theme, but you thought I was going to play Punk's theme. I just simply want to say this. Whatever happens in somebody's personal, you know, triumphs over a company in which it didn't work out for CM Punk, and not just that, I'm just giving you the cliff notes. I'm sure he can tell you a lot more. But seeing as how he was forced to go out and wrestle when he was sick and when he could not perform, it's probably because what the doctor kept giving him stuff to help his stomach along, and it didn't really help. I'm referring to the situation with CM Punk and Colt Cabana. Colt Cabana left because it just, you know, things were not working out. And look, he's got a podcast. He's wrestling around the world. He's wrestling around stateside. It's pretty badass. I'm going to elaborate on a few things that have been going on in wrestling. You did see news reports of Jerry Lawler's son, Brian Christopher, getting arrested in a Hampton outside of Peabody. And you know, the MPD, Memphis Patrol, had said that they used a company card, but there's not enough on the card to cover the hotel, so that's why they were staying in a room and they didn't really have any business staying in a room. And I'm just going to say this, whatever business happens outside of the business, none of our business expands. It is interesting to report, so that's why I reported it. Also, there are rumors going around that Lesnar may leave or drop the Universal title. We've heard this 1,000 times before. So what I can say to that rumor is, just watch. You know, I get hopeful when Lesnar can leave because then I don't have to see his ugly ass no more. Not just that. I'll just be honest with you folks. Brock Lesnar as the Universal Champion is kind of the hindrance behind WWE in some regards and not all. And what I'm referring to is Brock Lesnar as the Universal Champion only showing up 35 times in 2017. That's a fucking crock of shit. He makes $6.5 million as a salary pay total for the entire fucking year. You know how I found this information? On Forbes.com. It's not bashing. It's just citing facts. And for those who think it's bashing, well, no. There's a difference between bashing and reporting fact. Okay? Bashing would say your company fucking sucks and it can't even begin to fathom what Ring of Honor and CZW and Evolve are. No, I don't do that shit. I just report what I see. And what I report happens to be based off websites like Bleacher Report, CBS Sports, Sportskeeda. Oh, there's a shit ton that I can report facts off of WrestlingNews.co. It's funny, though, on WrestlingNews.co, it just looks like somebody, really cool dude, blogs about said that this could possibly happen. You know what happened to Dave Meltzer now, did you? Is it the reason why fans got a shitty WrestleMania 34, or somewhat shitty? Because there's only three highlights, in my opinion. If you came from around the world, you don't count. That's mean. Very mean. One of our list. Dude, you are a funny racist, but nah, there's no room for you. Blocked. See you later. Wrestle_radio or B-Train 05000. Send in your questions, comments, concerns, likes, dislikes. I don't give a fuck. There happens to be, you know, a fine line between bashing and just citing facts. If I'm citing facts, it's because I read on Forbes.com that John Cena makes money for the appearances, his salary, his network check, his merchandise check. Yes, there's a lot of smarks in the fucking business, but what really makes me laugh is when people sit there on social media and then have the nerve to wonder why fans are fucking upset with shit. I'm just going to tell you. If you're upset and you get all worked up, because you have a right to get all worked up. You spend your hard-earned money at a show. You don't pay their salary. No. That's not how this works. What happens is if you're a draw in the business, it doesn't matter if you are or were a draw like Razor Ramon, Diesel, Shawn Michaels, all them, Jeff Jarrett, whether you want to say he's not a draw, he was. But what happens is when you get a draw like Brock Lesnar, who simply just adds shit to a shirt that says Suplex City Bitch and then adds the city that goes along with it, like St. Louis, Chicago, Denver, then it becomes a smart marketing ploy and it makes your company money. But see, the problem is it's not bad marketing when you start discounting shit. That doesn't necessarily mean your company is going out of business. It just means the merchandise sales are a bit slow because it's not Christmas. But what it means is what I'm babbling about is Brock Lesnar is a fucking draw. I get it. What I really want to laugh at is, you know, there's certain things that WWE can fix, but they're not willing to. It's one of those things they could fix, or maybe it's a suggestion because I'm not part of the company, but I basically can say, what will it take for you to understand that fans are not willing to, some fans are not willing to just concede and just shut their mouth about certain situations that could be fixed. And this is the reason this ties into this. Tickets are still available. I looked on StubHub and I can look right now. I'm not going to pause for identification. There's no reason to. StubHub, TickPick, there's still seats, folks. If you would like to get your Money in the Bank tickets now, I can still click on June 17th and oh, voila, there's still seats left, floor seats, nosebleeds. There's only two sections of the fucking nosebleeds that are completely empty, and they are sections 203, actually 201, because Allstate Arena has an 18,500 seat capacity. You know how I know this? Because I looked up the seat capacity of Allstate Arena, and yes, third-party vendors are affiliated with WWE, so most of their ticket sales are scalpers, people that sell tickets, blah, blah, blah. That's why Ticketmaster says it's sold out. And that's why as a promoter or anybody, you wouldn't be so smart as to say, oh, yeah, there's third-party sites that have tickets still available. You don't hear Michael Cole saying that on Monday Night Raw. And you don't hear Corey Graves saying it on SmackDown Live or any other sanctioned event in WWE. But the sad part is, folks, why, here's a sad question is, why is it taking so long for Chicago to sell out a WWE event? A lot of questions can answer that, because the fans don't get what they want. And that is, you know, anybody is better than Brock Lesnar as a Universal Champion, and not just him. When you book Carmella to win a championship, I don't give a fuck. That's not a bad decision, but that does affect your ticket sales. The fact that merchandise can sell a whole bunch during events, because, you know, people will spend their money just like they do at conventions, just like at Comic-Con. You go to an event, you stay in the hotel, and you enjoy your time, right? If I was able to get lower level, and the seats have been on sale since March, actually longer than that, if I go to Metro Seats, and if I go to Tick Picks, if I go to SeatGeek, I've literally been through six fucking websites, folks, and they have not sold out. What does that tell you? That within a week, they probably will, and then I'll probably, some of you are saying you're going to eat crow, really? Because I'm just looking at the seating chart, and all I see is what proves my fucking point. All right, folks, enough of the babble. None. We're going to go straight to advertisements here in about a minute. If you'd like to go to the Monster Factory Super Camp, you can do so by visiting monsterfactory.org. The advertisements. If you'd like to join the WWE Network, you can do so for free. You get Money in the Bank and also Extreme Rules, maybe. For the preloaded card is $29.97, $6.99 shipping and handling on the shop if you decide to order it there. You can go to the affiliated sponsors of GameStop, 7-Eleven, Best Buy, Dollar General, and, oh, yes, Walmart. Again, though, to continue, MonsterFactory.org, SuperCamp, July 20th and 21st, 2018. Go to Eventbrite.com for more information. Type in Monster Factory into the search engine. Be sure to pay with PayPal or pay with whichever credit card you can do. You can pay half now, rest later, or all at once. All right, folks, get ready to enter my safe spot of crazy. Off the rails, uncensored. Brother, dig it.
Look in my eyes, what do you see? The cost of personality.
All right, folks, I saved the best for last because I figure why not talk about the one, the only, Mr. WrestleMania, the icon, the headliner, the showstopper, the heartbreak kid. There's only one, Shawn Michaels.
I know I'm sexy. I've got the look that drives the girls wild. I've got the moves that really move them. I said, chill up and down there.
Well, it's kind of foolery, isn't it? He's not a guest on my show, but you know what? I am going to talk about him. Shawn Michaels' return, he has spoken to officials saying that he is open for return. It's neither confirmed nor denied, so for right now, it's just rumor and hearsay. Again, you know, like I said, I can cite my sources. I can cite which, Bleacher Report, Sportskeeda, practically everybody's newsfeed on fucking Facebook. I mean, honestly, Shawn Michaels' return, a lot of people are speculating that AJ Styles will get the call, you know, possibly for the, you know, SummerSlam main event because, let's face it, folks, WWE has survived. They found what they call talent from around the world, such as Shinsuke Nakamura, such as Asuka. Although, at one point in time, they were trying to get a hold of Kenny Omega, and that didn't quite work out for them now, did it? But, now we mustn't mention someone's shortcomings, but, big but. If I was to say that Shawn Michaels was, or see that Shawn Michaels was coming back, I thought it was, you know, be one of those farce news stories on kayfabe news. You know, it's a funny generation or generated fake news. That's fake news. But if we're going to talk, folks, about how awesome it would be if Shawn Michaels returned, just shed some light on this return. It's going to be oh so fun. If Shawn does return, is he going to be in ring shape? I can tell you the man hasn't lost a step. Look at him body-wise. Of course, I'm going to favor Shawn. Of course, I'm going to just say it as best I can. Shawn Michaels was one of the main reasons why I began watching pro wrestling religiously. Before, it was Sting, Vader, Cactus Jack, mainly ECW guys before Shawn, you know, and then 96 happened. The boyhood dream has been realized. This comeback means a great deal to good old B-Train. Why? Because when you have someone that can inspire you to, you know, to do your best, to make sure that you not only want to be the ultimate underdog that overcomes all the odds, each their own. Some of you are already hating on me because I'm talking about Shawn Michaels and not, you know, talking about Enzo or CM Punk. I'll get to them later. I want to stay with the subject of flying, ladies and gentlemen. The reason why I'm excited is because Shawn Michaels has talked about the idea of, you know, one more match. If his, you know, back, his knees, everything is going to be in place, then why not? Why not? It's going to be highly interesting. If Shawn does come back, what role will he play? That's everyone. That's the question on some people's minds. And then some will say, ah, Chris Jericho's better. So you would say. I mean, just looking at most of Shawn's resume, I mean, yes, Chris Jericho is still active in wrestling. He's also still active in music. But this is not about Chris Jericho, folks. And for those of you doing what you're doing right now, trolling my social media, you just made the list. The point is, worldwide, that name is known whether you love him or hate him. So what you're doing right now is giving the man credibility. Just like I'm giving, you know, Brock Lesnar credibility by hating on the fact that he is Universal Champion. That's, you know, you're right. It's not a. It's not easy being a broadcast journalist. I'll tell you that much. Anyways, if Shawn Michaels does return, that would mean probably the one of the biggest things. Like, you know, when Sting returned, a friend of mine, I've been good wrestling, you know, compadres with for the longest. When Sting returned, it was more of, is he doing this, you know, to prove that he can hang in WWE? No. Sting basically showed that no matter how old you are, you can still show these young guys a thing or two. And it's not a bad thing. It's a hell of a good thing. It was so refreshing to see Sting go back in there with Seth Rollins, you know. I'm pretty sure the inner child in him was just, the heart was thumping. He was nervous. I really want to say as nicely as possible that Shawn Michaels
if he were to face AJ Styles, what would be the demographic that he would reach? I guarantee you that name pops up. My age and older will recognize. And we will cherish the moment that is HBK. Because Lord only knows we get subjugated. You're not subjugated. We get subjected to seeing here and there appearances by The Undertaker, because The Undertaker's body has taken a fucking beating. Literally. But he looks good. The Undertaker looks good for his age. Shawn Michaels looks good for his age, but you wouldn't suspect that he can still do a kimp up. Or in the land of super kicks in wrestling, he can still land some sweet chin music. And it's funny that one of the Usos uses a super kick. Does that bother Shawn? No. Because that means his legacy is still around. There were people that did the super kick before Shawn. Yes. However, do you know how many WrestleMania covers will look naked without Shawn Michaels back in the 90s? Because Hogan was only there till 94. So get your facts fucking straight, please. I'm just having fun. Really being, you know, at my job, you know, I can be mean to folk in a stern way, in a joking way. But you, sir, spouting off facts that Hogan was there till 95, bull fucking shit. They fired his ass in 94. They, as in Vince McMahon and WWE, which then in turn sparked the whole WCW war with WWE and ECW. Get it right, dumbass. It's really fucking simple, guys. Do your fucking research before you troll me. I mean, I'm not the expert. I just know basics, okay, when it comes to professional wrestling. Basics is in history, timelines, recordings of historical wrestling events. I can go to Google and look up anything. I can also look in the encyclopedia that I bought at WrestleCon for facts about wrestlers, A to Z. So, encyclopedias still exist. Anyways, back to the subject at hand. Shawn Michaels going to headline something, it probably, most likely, in my opinion, it would be great if he were to headline SummerSlam. And it'd be nice. I don't know if they would put a championship on Shawn. I mean, the travel, the road schedule would be one thing. I don't think Shawn wants to do that. Although the worker side of him, I don't speak for him, but being on the road with familiar faces or different faces, I mean, it's changed. Shawn knows this, and everyone knows this. He's not. It's not that he can't hang with AJ, but I feel like it's the passing of the torch match, like The Rock versus John Cena, which, ick. I'm going to be dead honest with you. I really didn't really like that match, because the first match was okay. The second match, no. Quality-wise, it just, the match between John Cena and The Rock at Mania 29, there's certain matches, like, okay, The Rock versus Hogan at WrestleMania 18. You want to talk about hype for a match. Imagine the old lion staring down the young lion. You look and you say, okay, cool, nice. That match had so much theatrical shit. Shawn Michaels versus Ric Flair. I mean, the WWE keeps doing this shit. Roman Reigns versus The Undertaker. Okay. I'm going to draw the line right there. Roman did not want to do it, but he had to. So for those saying that The Undertaker still could have won when he was hurt, it's good, you know. His loss record should have been tarnished by this guy. Or The Undertaker should have, in JR's opinion, it was on Cornette's show, I believe, and he said, no, he's on his own podcast, never mind. JR was on his own podcast, and he said, I believe The Undertaker's streak should have never been touched. I believe that, you know, he should have been given a match and he should just let him ride off into the sunset. JR is not wrong. I mean, there's certain records that should have never been touched, and the decision to do things. Some people run the course of saying Vince's name in vain. Guys, if it were not for Vince McMahon, the company would not be where it is at today. Granted, I criticize it because here it is. You want to hear why? It's because I fucking care about a company that helped me through the most fucking depressed times ever. WCW, the only ties I have to that company would be Eddie Guerrero, Dean Malenko, Jericho, Psychosis, who most of the Lucha Libre is, the NWO, Sting, big part of that. But the reason why I criticize WWE so much, you want to ask that question, it's because I fucking care about what could be. And it's not of my concern because I'm not a fucking booker, but as a fan, I see things from an optimistic point of view and also very stern point of view as a fan. Anyways, I continue this on. So there's a lot of pass the torches match, quote unquote. Those type of matches happen quite often in WWE. It just takes a minute. I mean, AJ Styles being in the WWE, I really don't think there's a problem with Shawn facing AJ Styles. Signs are pointing towards it because it'd be great, Shawn Michaels versus Shinsuke Nakamura, although could Shawn adjust to Shinsuke's strong style? Probably, but it wouldn't be good for his body. And it's very simple, folks. Shawn Michaels and AJ Styles really could make anyone look good. I mean, look, Shawn versus Vader, Shawn versus the British Bulldog, Shawn versus Owen Hart, Shawn versus Mankind, Shawn versus The Undertaker. A laundry list of names have been through or versus Shawn Michaels. Marty Jannetty, his former tag team partner. I mean, the list goes on and on. He was around the time when garbage men were running around, clowns, dudes who painted their face and were badass, Legion of Doom. Now, we want to talk semantics. We want to talk semantics, do we? We got 24 minutes left. I'm going to finish up the Shawn Michaels bit with if he were to face anybody from the current WWE roster, AJ Styles, Dolph Ziggler, Seth Rollins, I mean, the list is infinite for him to choose from. And after all, his tenure in WWE is off and on, right? He doesn't need to prove anything other than the fact that he's Shawn fucking Michaels, a man that really proved during his time period that you didn't need to be the biggest guy. You didn't need to be the man who is 6'8", 296 pounds, or 6'10", 338 pounds. Some people forget that yes, Braun Strowman is the main attraction, but what about Finn Balor being the David in this situation and Braun being the Goliath? There's just a lot of stuff going on that Shawn Michaels has influenced. And you really can't teach that. Bada boom, coolest legend in the room. How you doing? HBK. I remember as a kid growing up and thinking, I may be the smallest kid, but I'll try in everything I do because Shawn Michaels tries and he succeeds. I may be the smallest team, but I'm not quitting because that's not me. There's a lot of things that Sean has done, not just for me, but for other small dudes in wrestling. Daniel Bryan. Does that name ring a bell? I mean, some people, well, at least he's not like Sean. Sean was a dick. Okay, ye who has done nothing wrong in their lives, go fuck yourselves. I mean, that's kind of funny how people can sit around and not have any accountability for what they do, but they just want to point fucking fingers. Well, he was, you know, he was a jackass, blah, 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 blah. I've heard some stories from my trainer, Scott Vita, but let me inform you about this, though. The stories that he tells, they are real. Was regarding Shawn Michaels, which I'm not allowed to say on air. So, if you have any questions, comments, concerns about Shawn, Wrestle_Radio, BTrain05000 on Instagram. All right, folks, let's continue the thoughts about Enzo Amore's rap music video. Overall, if you get out how you feel, there's no fucking shame in it. But if you take offense to it, then I don't know what the fuck to tell you. I'm not going to babysit people's emotions. I'm not going to sit here and claim that this couldn't happen. But I will tell you this. If you think for one second that Enzo's coming back, I feel sorry for you, because I don't think, you know, he said clearly and concisely on his Instagram, I'm going to start a rap career, even though it's probably going to not go anywhere. I just say that because it got attention, but literally rapping about your accuser, it's not going to help you. It's going to make you look foolish. So my whole assessment of Enzo making a comeback, that remains to be seen, and he'll be back in his own time. He's still the guy that only lasted how many, like barely even 2 years on Main, which is more than most. I spoke with Rich Swann about Enzo. He had his good days, he had his bad days. He got along with certain people. He didn't get along with Corey Graves. Some people may think Corey Graves is a pretentious snob or a pretentious jackass. That's all on you guys. That's not on Corey Graves. Corey Graves makes millions of dollars. So did Enzo. Enzo had a bigger head that was afforded to him with no brain. Want me to bash on somebody for making a rap career? No. It's just like Iggy Azalea's career. They asked her to rap. It just sounded like, you have to write shit. Okay? There are some people that had the free gift ability to call Tupac Shakur Notorious B.I.G. So, really, if I want to compare Enzo's career to anybody, let me just say this right now. Not worth my time to sit here and discuss Enzo the entire fucking podcast. Because if I do, I'm going to go in depth detail about how one can just fake being a New Yorker for the longest, because it's your fucking gimmick. That's understandable. If your sole fucking concern is, holy shit, I can't believe Enzo came up with a fucking rapping career, then as a fan, you're really not doing yourself a favor, because he's a piece of shit. He didn't rape anyone, yeah. Who the fuck cares? I mean, honestly, let's move forward. Ticket sales. How are ticket sales important for a wrestling company? I think we all know that the WWE can pull off selling more tickets than anyone can in the whole universe, right? Newsflash. There are other wrestling companies that sell out in ballrooms quicker than this shit. I'm not trying to get signed by any smart means of that nature to WWE. Here's why. Because what I say, they say, on a fucking show called Monday Night Raw. Can I prove it? Do they say my name? No, to avoid legalities. Do they care? Fuck no, they don't. Let's be honest, shall we? There is such a thing as keeping your mouth shut and not saying a goddamn thing. Me, on the other hand, I have nothing to lose. I'm not athletic, and I'm sure as hell not going to the Performance Center anytime soon. What I am going to tell you is this. If you can't sell seats March through about now, gee, motherfuckers, what the hell are you doing? I mean, it's only June 6th. And you, as a company, know that Ring of Honor, not even an affiliated, an event, you know, with Cody Rhodes and them, who did it by themselves, sold out 10,000 seats in the span of half an hour. The fact that CM Punk is signing autographs on August 31st must drive you nuts. Because SummerSlam, yes, it will sell out. Yes, it will be an eventful event. However, man, I mean, this is SummerSlam versus Chi-Town. Chi-Town is a wrestling town. How the fuck can you not sell out? I guess some people are too busy watching the shitty NBA playoffs to give a fucking damn, unless you're from Golden State or, God forbid, Cleveland. Who? And by the way, I know I'm going to get a lot of flack for this, but fuck LeBron. I don't care if he cheers for the fucking Yankees. Listen to this. The man has been compared to one of the all-time greats, Michael Jordan, but people say, well, by numbers, LeBron is way better than Michael. I guarantee you, Michael Jordan had a team around him. The difference between Michael Jordan and LeBron James is exponential, man. He had a team around Dennis Rodman, Tony Kukoc, Scottie Pippen. Enough NBA speak. This is off the rails. The reason why WWE is flunking on ticket sales is because look at Backlash. What were you guys trying to do? Create a maximum length, like Monday Night Raw, which needs to be shortened, by the way. Long shows create angst from fans who just twiddle and twaddle on their phones, sending Instagram pics to one another, you know. I've seen this because I've been a part of this audience multiple times throughout the entire year, folks. I mean, after all, Rumble, let's see here, Survivor Series, events that are hit and miss. That is why WWE has a hard time selling tickets, some regards. They're going to push tickets, believe me. They're going to lower the fucking prices. I've been to so many Raws, SmackDown Lives, WrestleManias, pay-per-views. The reason why, there's several factors into this. One, if I'm looking off a third-party site and Ticketmaster has already said, sold out. Dude, if I was already getting two tickets within a span of 2 months of being on sale, that tells me that WWE, the marketing system, is flailing really badly. And do we know why? Do we know why? There are factors into this. People cannot afford the amount, even on StubHub. $199 with sales fees and everything, that's, you're looking at $401 for two people. I'm just smiling to myself because here's the thing, folks. WWE is the company that I support in some ways, but I also support Evolve. I also support Wrestling Revolver. I also support CZW. And by the way, Pete Dunne. He became a tag team champion at Wrestling Revolver. I mean, there's a lot of guys and gals going different directions to different companies. Does this have anything, what does this have to do with ticket sales? What fucking year is it? Because the WWE hasn't had this much trouble with ticket sales at all. If we want to base off numbers, I mean, I've said this. They increased the number of live events because they were not selling out their fucking normal events. It's like, okay, Jeddah, Saudi Arabia was a glorified house show. That's pretty much what it was. It's saying a lot of articles, folks. It's saying 10 reasons why WWE live events attendances are shrinking. WhatCulture.com. WWE merchandise sales at events down despite more events and attendance. This is February 12, 2018. Yeah, you see the trend in articles here on Google, folks. I don't even have to go in-depth detail as to why this company, WWE, has their struggles with ticket sales. There's not enough interest. And if you got people not interested in a group of folk, not just New Day, they're not the problem. They're actually a crowd draw. The crowd cheers for them, and by golly, New Day rocks. To the casual marks that cheer for them, good, you know, because they can wrestle. They're just being made a mockery out of because people couldn't handle the fucking edgy system that Nation of Domination was, or D-Generation X. Or Stone Cold Steve Austin's foul-mouthed, beer-swilling, you know, redneck-type tendencies to break shit, you know, like pouring cement in the boss's Corvette, or a.k.a. the rental that Vince paid later. You know, there was a free range of doing stuff to make TV compelling enough to fucking watch for the fan to actually want to go out and buy a fucking ticket. But now, it's different. We have a universal champion who doesn't show up. That's, you know, WWE's fault. 35 times a year, Brock Lesnar attended. Is it any of my business? Yes, it is, because I'm a fucking fan. It doesn't entitle me. It just allows me to express my questions, comments, and concerns as to why things are done a certain way. In a wrestling business, I don't think it's so bad. I think it's great. You know, if you're that optimistic and you're a great fan, I just gotta wait and see to, you know, give Money in the Bank a chance, because I know there's not gonna be that many people there, and they're gonna tarp off a lot of shit, because at this rate, they're about to have at the most 12,000 to 13,000. I guarantee fucking it. Sounds like a men's suit commercial or men's warehouse, but you know what? WWE's ticket sales, yeah, they had to deploy more live events because they're not making as much. And they know this. The sad part is they know it, yet they still do it anyways. Yeah, our company is going this direction, blah, blah, blah. Why do you think the independent scene is booming? And why do you think Triple H goes to each place to see which talent he can foresee about getting, not just him, but the fact that people are bitching and moaning about WWE not doing this and that? Folks, read between the lines. Don't read the rumor sheets, because that's what will fucking kill you. Brock Lesnar is supposed to drop the title soon. Yeah, well. Again, wrestling rumors. They're like mythological creatures, Bigfoot, Loch Ness monsters. Some of you crazy fucks will say that they exist. I'm not one to dispute the paranormal, but the reason why ticket sales are down the fucking drain is because Here's a thought. If you don't give the fans what they want, you're going to get the shaft. In other words, people just support other forms of professional wrestling, local, indie, Wrestling Revolver, a big company that goes around the states. I mean, not just Evolve or Wrestling Revolver or PWG or ICW or Progress Wrestling. There's a lot of people that believe that letting go of Abby Lane, you know, in NXT was a big deal, because I cannot believe you picked Bianca Belair over Abby Lane. And there's tons of women from the Mae Young Classic that made it onto NXT's roster. That's not what I'm referring to as why ticket sales are declining, but when you have talent that consistently botulizes a match with certain spots here and there, no. It's the fact that the decision makings, the bookings, it's, you know, half the battle of being a promoter is being able to see what fans like and what they don't like. Yeah, fans are fucking fickle, but you can't. What Michael Hayes likes and what I like is completely different. What Kevin Dunn, God forbid that fucker, what he likes and I like is completely different. What I and Brian Armstrong or Hunter or Stephanie, or the fact that I like something different, doesn't drive them nuts. What drives them nuts is fans don't react how they think fans would react. And ticket sales kind of show that, guys. You say, well, we had sellouts for Monday Night Raw. That's because you guys don't show the fucking tarps on the side of your venues. And I don't think it's stupid that I just mentioned that, but I do find it annoying that certain people will go to social media and say, if you aren't a part of the blah, 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 then you can't really bash them, blah, blah, blah. Bashing just to stop that shit. Okay? Because here's the reason why I have a discord with WWE in certain regards. It's watch. I dare you guys to sit there and watch 3 hours of programming. It's not very endearing for a fan. Also, if I go to a show like SmackDown Live, why do you guys have 205.5 after? That's very hard for fans to sit through. Not just the sitting part and appreciating the talent. I appreciate the fucking talent and, you know, being a former business member myself does not entitle me to say, well, I know wrestling, blah, 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 and you fans don't know what you want, blah, blah, blah. Quit fucking doing that bullshit. But you guys don't listen because half the old-timers on the fucking creative staff need to fucking understand that the reason why your ticket sales are down the fucking pipe is because half the battle is giving the fans what they want. And yes, people are morons because they cheer for Brock Lesnar. There, I fucking said it. Lesnar is mainly the problem. When you have guys like Samoa Joe or Finn Balor or Seth Rollins that could take the fucking strap off of Lesnar's waist easily. But no, you insist upon, oh, the controversial ending, blah, 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 is going to make him talk. Whoever's booking decision that was, you're losing ticket sales because of that dumb fuck. So if you don't fire them, fucking care, because my voice falls upon deaf ears or it gets repeated at a fucking show on Monday Night Raw through which I could be on the podcast, yeah? Well, Graves, here's the fun part. Not just him, it's Jonathan Coachman and Michael Cole. And thank God, oh yeah, by the way, when you have commentators that don't know their shit and that have just come back for a legends factor or the fact that they've once upon a time announced on your fucking show, give me a fucking break. Raw does not need three announcers. It was fine when they had Michael Cole, who was the color commentator, and basically the baby face side of things, and then you have Jerry Lawler's illegitimate child who's doing a great job, Corey Graves. And I say illegitimate child in a metaphorical sense because Graves, I got the 90-second warning. Graves, Saxton, and Phillips should be announcing Raw and SmackDown Live. Michael Cole should not even be behind the scenes. And what does this have to do with ticket sales? I'll tell you what it does have to do with ticket sales. Michael Cole, please learn fucking movesets. Please learn names of moves. And furthermore, you really want my opinion on why ticket sales are down? Gee, I just listed them all. And I'm pretty sure I'll have more to list when I come back the next time for Monday's edition of Wrestle Radio, folks. I'm done. To all the fans in Britain, London, South Wales, Canada, Australia, Norway, Latvia, India, I love you guys. Thank you, Japan. Thank you everywhere so much for listening to Off the Rails Uncensored. I gotta take it, not a dirt nap, but I gotta go to sleep. So if you don't believe in what good old B-Train is telling you, I got three choice words for you. Forget about it.